tonight, Jay is off at a secret location for his mundane day job.
It's not that secret, is it?
Eh.
Is it?
He didn't want anybody to, he didn't want to say.
He put it on his own Facebook.
Yeah, but that's, you know, that's not.
Super secret gun
thing.
Gunny site in Arizona.
Wherever he is, we can just assume that somebody else is paying for the ammo, and that makes me jealous.
Yeah. I know. It's awful.
And, Jay is living the life.
So tonight we have Hayden and MDev, who have never been on the same show before. So this will be great. Two of our favorite and most frequent guests.
And callers when we had a call-in show.
That's right.
Oh, yes.
Everybody have a good weekend, good week. Everything went well, kind of a boring week. Nothing really happened.
Yeah, nothing at all. I had a spectacular weekend.
What did you do?
I put about 100 rounds through my boomer shoot rifle.
That's good.
And that was very therapeutic. And then I sat on my couch on Tuesday and yelled angrily at the television.
So. I have found that I've stopped having extreme feelings about elections. I kind of have this like, well, you know, we survived Obama. And here we are, and, you know, it's the same old, and okay, we'll just carry on. You know, it's kind of that, that's kind of where I'm at. I'm like, well, okay, we lost the House. But at least it's not Obama.
You know what? And I totally agree with you, Rita. And I noticed that my frustration was shifted from, I'm not frustrated at the particular candidates or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm just, it's like when your parent says, I'm not upset, I'm disappointed. I am disappointed in the electorate. I'm disappointed in the general public of like, how can you people not see this?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not angry. I'm disappointed.
No, I understand that. Yeah.
On my way home today, I stopped in. There's a local sort of student-y, hippy-dippy sort of shop. And they have I stopped in there because they sell actually some pencils that I quite like, a brand of pencils. And
you have to tell us what brand of pencils this is.
Oh, it's Palomino Blackwing.
Oh, I love Blackwings. I have one right here on my desk. I love Blackwings. They're lovely. Highly recommended. I have yet to determine. I love Ticonderogas, but those Blackwings, man, they are the bomb diggity. And also, like, the design of them, beautiful.
Yes.
With the extendable eraser. Extendable eraser is where it's at. Anyway, carry on.
Is a Blackwing a fancy enough pencil that it does not have its own eraser, that you have to use the gum eraser, or does it have a...
No, it has an eraser that you can extend the eraser as it wears down. It, like, extends. Yeah. It's really cool.
Yeah, the eraser's got this, like, little metal pockety thing that holds it. And also, the eraser is bigger than the diameter of the pencil, so...
But it's not a mechanical pencil, right?
No.
Yes, fancy. Look into it. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't use pencils, but that's okay.
Anyway, sorry for the side note there, Hayden.
Yeah, it's wonderful. People are going to be commenting. Oh, I love that pencil.
But what about the smell? Do they have that good, that pencily smell like the Ticonderogas do?
No.
I'm currently comparing them, actually, because I have them both on my desk. No, the Ticonderoga, I think, has the cedar wood or something.
Yeah, it's got that classic pencil smell to it.
They smell different. Mm. Anyway.
I sometimes...
Hayden was telling a story.
Yeah.
Sorry, Hayden.
That's all right. I sometimes get the Staedtler Norris, the school pencil, which is with the black and yellow stripes. That's my second favorite. Anyway, so I was in this hippy dippy student place, and there were some greeting cards, and one of the greeting cards said, "I'll punch a Nazi for you." And next to it was a calendar for next year of the Supreme Court justice that just fell over and broke some ribs.
The notorious RBG. Yeah,
that's her. Yes. So because apparently she's a darling of the of people that would obviously buy "I punch a Nazi for you" greeting card.
You know, I'm trying to understand, when did she become the darling of the left? Because it seems like a very recent phenomenon.
Oh, yeah. I think it was within the last, like, probably since the election of Trump.
Yeah.
Well, I think she's their last sort of bastion of hope. I mean, because they know she's going to go, you know, she's nodding off. She's fallen asleep. She can't keep going too much longer. And based on Kavanaugh, you know, they're going to absolutely, you know, the poop's going to be leaking out if she goes. Mm-hmm. You know,
well, they're going to be. Oh no! I'm sorry. Go ahead. Interrupt you.
I mean, they're going to be defecating in the street. If she, you know, if Trump gets a third.
Well, okay, so look at the liberal, there are four reliable liberals on the court now: Ginsburg, Beyer, Sotomayor, and Kagan. And that's it. Sotomayor is nothing. She's like the Obama of judges. I mean, she's literally.
What does that mean?
Well, she's done nothing on the court. She's literally done nothing. She doesn't write anything. She doesn't do anything. She's just there. Mm.
She votes present.
Yeah. Kagan's the most recent one. I haven't really seen much out of her. Ginsburg's the one because of her. She's like the oldest, most senior liberal judge. So she's the one that writes a lot of the liberal decisions, like when they have like a 5-4 split, she writes the leftist dissent of whatever the other ones do. So she's like, that's why she's the darling of the left. She's the one that writes all the freaky deaky, you know, lefty decisions on the court.
Well, I think it would be fair to say the left views Ginsburg like a lot of us on the right viewed Scalia.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I'd take that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. She carries the water.
More credit than their words,
no, I think you're right. You're right. She is the most there of the she's the most, you know, she's the one that with the judicial chops and the lead, you know, she's, I mean, I don't disagree. I don't agree with her politics, but she's not dumb. She's a smart lady,
exactly.
And she's as brilliant on the left as Scalia was on the conservative side. So, yeah, I think that's probably an accurate statement. Breyer hasn't really done anything. Sotomayor hasn't done anything. Kagan, meh. I mean, Kagan was what, late, 2010. So, you know, she hadn't really done anything either. So.
She's 85 years old.
Yeah.
I'm trying to not be ageist here, but I don't know. At 85, like, I'm trying not to be ageist because, you know, they're very spry and very coherent 85-year-olds.
She's not one of them.
But, you know, grandma's fallen asleep at the State of the Union, you know.
Yeah. and chose not to retire early enough when Obama, you know, could have nominated her replacement.
Yeah.
Which to me just goes to the arrogance of everybody knew Hillary was going to win.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because there was no risk. It was, I'm going to be replaced by a Hillary appointee.
Well, they were betting. I bet you, whether they'll admit it or not, they were, because you got to remember the last, you know, she couldn't really be replaced with as reliable liberal judge because the Senate was held by the Democrats for the entire last six of Obama's terms. There's no way in hell they would have approved a judge as liberal as Ginsburg. So my thinking is that they were holding out expecting not only the Democrats to elect Clinton, but to the coattails of Clinton to ride in on a liberal Senate.
Yeah.
So with a Clinton president and a Democrat controlled Senate, Ginsburg could have retired and been replaced by somebody as liberal, if not more so than her, and everything would have been great.
I would just like and follow me on for like half a second, and I mean this 100% seriously, even though I know it becomes like a bad Facebook joke. Given that the Republicans still have the Senate, you know, we lost the House, but we still have the Senate. I would love to see Donald Trump come out and 100% seriously and like whatever elocution lessons he could take, nominate Hillary Clinton as Ginsburg's replacement. In that but follow me. He gets to come out and say, "I'm putting the ugliness of 2016 behind us."
Oh my God!
We get a confirmation hearing that the Senate gets to rip her apart on whatever.
Yes,
and they'll never confirm her
because,
you know what I mean. But it's like, and the worst part is, it would be leading up to the 2020 election, and it would disrupt her campaign. it would be so perfect. And I think she's arrogant enough that she wouldn't see through it. I would love him to come out and have the most, like, you know, 2016 was ugly, but I would like to put that behind us and extend the olive branch.
Oh, boy.
And then he gets to blame. Well, I'm sorry, the Senate didn't confirm.
Yeah, there's a danger to that though, because you know the Senate is very finely balanced.
That's true.
And all it would take was a few squishy Republicans deciding, Justice Hillary would take Hillary out of the campaign. The Democrats would all be for it. Although it would be really hard to get a realistic judicial nomination for somebody who was forced to give up their law license for malfeasance.
True. But, I mean, it's the same old thing. It's like, it's only illegal if you get caught. You know what I mean? It's only an issue if somebody decides to investigate it. But yes, she, there is that status.
I think Brita's coloring.
What? Sorry.
I hear colored pencils or something.
I'm sorry.
We need to start having Brita post pictures of the color of our art, her show art.
What did Brita color during the show today?
Yeah, that'd be a great post.
I have an art question for Brita real fast. So have you heard of an? I'm going to say it's new, but it's probably been around for decades, and it's just new to me. Have you heard of diamond painting?
Diamond painting.
Yeah. So it's sort of
Is this the thing where you get the little dot things and you put it
exactly.
on the...
Exactly. It's sort of like a mosaic, and you get these hundreds of thousands of little
Yes. things. I have seen the kits, and I've
Yes. seen So them. My house is now full of diamond paintings in various different levels of completion.
Wow. You don't have cats then?
We do not.
Yeah.
We do not.
Because there's lots of little bits, right?
Yes. Yeah. There are, I think the last one that my wife did had like 3,800 or 3,900.
Oh my God.
Okay. Pieces. And you put them on with this little like sticky Q-tip.
Mm-hmm.
Or a sticky toothpick might be the better analogy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just when I first saw it, I go, oh man, that's a Brita craft. She would enjoy that.
I think they're really cool looking. And I like them because the little I don't know if they're gems or whatever.
Yeah, they call them gems. They're little plastic.
Little plastic doodads. And they are basically a mosaic.
Yeah.
That you stick, and is it like paint by numbers? Like you have like a pattern to follow?
Yeah, each color is given a number, and then your pattern is full of, you know, you just put the number in.
I think they're beautiful when they're done because the little gems are so small. But I would never attempt anything like that because cats.
Yeah, fair enough. We don't have cats. We don't have cats and we don't have children, so we can leave things like laying on an end table. And
I think they're really cool looking, though.
That sounds like one of those things that'd be really good for like OCD, like somebody on the autism spectrum. It'd be like a perfect, you know, like
probably
thing.
So funny that you say that, because my wife tried one that has square gems instead of round gems. So now you have to line up the edges.
Oh no.
And her phrase was, I'm OCD, but I'm not that OCD. So yeah. The other ones are like they're not quite round. They're like more of a hexagon, so they got more edges, but the square, and then you have to get all the lines straight.
Oh yeah, that drive me nuts. Because there's no way in hell you can get them all that.
You never could.
Yeah.
It would drive everyone nuts. So.
Yeah, there's no way I could do that. Interesting.
It was a Brita question. So.
We like Brita questions.
I have
seen
them. I have not attempted them. They look cool, though.
Well, they're dirt cheap. You can get them for like $9 on Amazon.
Oh, neat. So. Oh, okay.
So, MDev, I've been wanting to ask, what the hell happened in Washington? The state completely lost its sanity.
Well, you know, it is a classic example of we have all of the bad like urban center problems, you know, where we all of our big tech companies import people from Silicon Valley. And they continue to vote like they live in Silicon Valley. But beyond that, we have so much apathy in this state. Everybody who is just slightly to the right of center says, oh, you know, Seattle decides everything. So what's the point? We had a gun initiative that is
terrible.
Terrible, obviously, like has massive legal issues in it, you know what I mean? Like all these things. And the no votes, the number of people that voted no on it is less than 60% of the number of people that have a concealed carry permit in Washington.
Wow.
That's so sad.
Do you think
we didn't even get the CHO holders to vote no?
Do you think people just figured it'd get overturned on in court or something? So why bother?
So I think two things happened. Some of the people felt it was going to be overturned and said, "Well, that's fine. I'll just write it out." And some of the people honestly said, "Well, Seattle's going to vote yes on this and outnumber us anyway. So what's the point?" And that's the apathy part. But the part that has, I mean, the part that is so frustrating is we have a lot of like the national level big shots live in Washington for gun rights. You know what I mean? Like Second Amendment Foundation is based here. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I mean, it's like, I just, it's like we have the right people here, you know. In 2016, we had a really bad gun bill that banned private sales and things like that, and defined transfers in a really weird way where, you know, you can't, you literally, like, if we all went shooting, I can't hand you one of my guns unless we're at a sanctioned range. If we just go shooting in the middle of the woods, I can't legally let you shoot anything that you don't own.
Wow. Huh. Yeah, you know,
So it was one of these bad bills, and everybody attacked the NRA because the NRA didn't spend any money in Washington. So for this one, the NRA tried to apologize and, like, dumped a bunch of money here. And I was driving around, and, like, I could not find a single sign in support of this initiative. Like, I'm driving around. I mean, I drive around for a living, and I'm like, man, I think we're actually going to be on the right track. Like, every bumper sticker I see says no. Every sign I say says no. And, like, I was pretty excited. And then the results came in, and it was flipped on its head from what I expected.
Huh.
And it's like,
So you kind of feel like a Hillary voter in 2016.
Yeah, you know what? That's actually an accurate description. It's actually an accurate description. Because, you know what? Even the leftists that we have, like, we have some legitimate, like, weird college, you know, folks and whatever, right? But we also have those, like the rich liberals that are like, well, I don't believe in guns, but I do have my $5,000 Purdy shotgun. And, you know, like, I'm not a gun owner. I'm just a person who owns guns.
They think guns are okay for them, but they just don't, they don't want those people to have them.
Well, and not only that, like, they don't count what they own as guns.
Right. Well, they're not, you know, evil. I mean? Like, how could those, the, like, ones they own be evil?
No, that's not an assault rifle. That's my duck gun. And, you know, yeah, like, it's that type of thing, you know? But I mean, it's terrible. So they raised the purchase age for any semi-automatic rifle to 21. It with no exemption for 22s, no exemption for things that are like tube fed. So my Glenfield Model 60 that I inherited from my grandfather is now an assault rifle.
Oh my God!
Because it has a magazine and it holds more than 10 rounds, or holds 10 rounds, you know. I mean, of course, my AR, you know, counts. That's whatever. You know what I mean? But it's like, no exemptions for anything. No exemptions for active duty military. And, you know, we're a huge military state. So we're a state full of, you know, 19-year-olds that now can't go down to Cabela's and, you know, purchase a rifle.
Jeez.
And, you know, a 10-day waiting period on all these rifles with no exemption for CHL holders, no exemption for anything like that.
That's crazy.
The worst part is there's a training requirement that every time you purchase a quote-unquote, you know, semi-automatic assault rifle, you have to sign something saying that you've attended a training class by a sanctioned organization within the last 5 years.
The
way the law is written, you have to re-sign that every 5 years, whether you buy something new or not. You know, I mean, it's just top to bottom broken.
Oh, I bet the trainers love that.
Well, they do and they don't, because it's like, okay, great. You know, they can, but it's not even like, well, like, there's some debate that, you know, maybe Hunter's Ed counts as that class. There's some debate on a lot of these things. And yeah, we do have a little bit of like that CHL mafia type thing, you know, as like you say down in Texas.
Yep.
But honestly, like, all of our trainers are also FFL holders, and they would much rather sell ARs to, you know, 19-year-olds that just came back with deployment pay. So, you know, they don't want to hurt their own business. But I mean, no exemption for any of that kind of stuff. And it's like, it's really, and then of course there's a safe storage requirement, and you know, if my stuff gets stolen and used in a crime, then I get convicted of community endangerment. And depending on what type of crime it's used in, that's either a misdemeanor or a felony.
Don't they waive that if you report it stolen or something within a certain amount of time?
Yeah. Basically, if I get to the cops before the gun gets used, yeah.
Right.
You know, but I mean, like,
yeah, you can picture somebody stealing your gun and then going down the street and you know, robbing a liquor store and killing somebody.
Yeah.
Before you're home from work, and then oh shit, you know.
Well, yeah, and you know, I mean, we also have a fair number of people, you know, because Seattle is you know, obviously pretty urban, but you get a half an hour outside of Seattle and it gets real quick, you know. I mean, we've got people that have, like, you know, garages, outbuildings, whatever, and maybe there's a safe in the garage, maybe there's whatever, and could it be possible that somebody goes a week and doesn't go in and notice something was broken into or whatever?
Sure. Know? Yeah.
I mean, that's possible. You know, all this stuff is possible. And, you know, yet again, we also have, you know, it was only about 18 months ago that the front page of the Seattle Times was a Seattle police squad car where an officer accidentally left his patrol rifle on the trunk of the car walked into a hotel to get a cup of coffee.
Oh, dear.
And you know what I mean? But it's like, oh, but it's you terrible private gun owners that, you know, didn't lock your safe or whatever. You know, it's like,
I always like to compare these really bad laws like this to imagine this applied, if a law like this applied to something involving the First Amendment.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And then you can see how egregiously bad it is.
Well, it's like, you know, if somebody steals my laptop and slanders you, is that my fault? You know what I mean? It's like, it's the equivalent, but yeah, it's been, you know, and I hate to say it, but the apathy is what killed us. Like, voter turnout was actually very high this year for a off cycle, you know, midterm election. But it was, I don't want to say the wrong people, 'cause you know, I'm glad people voted, but we did not turn out the people we needed to turn out.
It's too bad.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, I was talking to my wife who, like, my wife is essentially a casual gun owner. Like, you know, she's a gun owner 'cause I'm a gun owner and she's got some of her own stuff, but she's not interested in, you know, all the nitty gritty. And she's like, I'm afraid I'm going to accidentally become a felon, you know, because I'm going to screw something up. I'm not going to, you know, do something right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that gets into the whole, you know, status crime and three felonies a day, you know? So, but that's a whole nother discussion, but it's just, you know, it's really scary right now. And it's really, really scary right now. But I don't know. The Washington, the politics here in Washington, it's just, I don't know, it's so scary. I'm just at a loss, and like, I wish, you know, I've got a lot of friends and even some friends that, you know, like are popular in the gun blogs and stuff like that, that say, okay, I'm going to pack up and move, you know? And it's like, I don't want to be that person, because that's actually pretty unrealistic for me. You know what I mean? It's like, I just bought a house 2 years ago. All my family's here. Like, don't get me wrong, the politics are important, but, you know, it's hard.
Well, yeah.
I think this is a good point to segue to Hayden.
Yes.
Because Hayden, you've never become an American citizen, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so you have the experience of both American gun laws and British gun laws, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, the thing that things that MDev are talking about, I mean, it seems like a kind of a lot of similarities where, you know, if you are held responsible for someone else's actions, you know, I hear about that a lot in Great Britain where, you know, you're prosecuted if you, you know, defend yourself.
Yes, and that's very true. And there's, you know, plenty of cases where, you know, people have taken golf clubs and walloped the nonsense out of a burglar.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the burglar has then had the homeowner, you know, arrested for assault and battery.
It's, wow.
Yes. And it's been and is incredibly common. And I mean, I think I've mentioned this, but I mean, last year the number of people that were shot and killed by guns was like 35, maybe, you know, mm-hmm. maybe 36, which is, Breeder, I think we can all agree that's a bad weekend in Chicago.
Right. Exactly.
That's a good weekend in Chicago.
Actually, I think you're right. I think it's a good weekend in Chicago. 35.
but the number of people that have had you know, been attacked with knives and sharpened screwdrivers and
mm-hmm.
you know is absolutely you know is ridiculous, you know, it's you know tens of thousands, and I mean, what's happening is that a lot of the you know, the Romanian gangs are bringing, you know, blood feud to, you know, to the country, and it's there. You know, that's the recent thing. That's, you know, the
Romanian blood feuds.
Yes. Yes.
Wow, that sounds like that sounds like fiction, but
sounds like an excellent reason to own guns in my mind. Yeah.
Right.
You know.
I mean, I wish I could. I could, you know. I mean, yeah. I could probably get a shotgun, not easily.
You could never use it for home defense, though.
Oh heavens, no!
No,
no, no, not at all. I mean, I'd have to. You know, I'd have to prove to the police a need for a shotgun. Mm-hmm.
And self-defense is not a need.
And then I have to, you know, prove that I'm, you know, not crackers. Although, you know, some police forces would say, well, you know, wanting a shotgun is therefore does prove that you're completely crackers.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can keep it at home, but you have to have a safe. The amount of money and hoops and hurdles I've jumped through in England
mm-hmm.
to get a shotgun is so many that they, you know, it's deliberately designed so people go, oh, you know what, I'm just not gonna, you know what, the
right.
Never mind. Oh, never
yeah,
mind.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be the point, right? Like,
yes. So a little bit about the just because I know I piqued your curiosity, Breeder. So obviously, because we're part of the European Union, we have the national healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
Is that if you know, is we pay through our taxes? I pay, you know, the diesel in my car, you know, pays for it. Smokers also pay for it, but you know, my salary, 40% of my salary is, you know, goes in tax automatically. I'll never, you know, before it even hits my bank account, I have to pay 20% tax for a bar of chocolate and all sorts of, you know, everyday items.
After they've taken the 40% from their income.
After, right? Yes. After they've taken that. Yes, Emdo.
Wow.
But for that, I get free healthcare. And it's not just, and it is actually, you know, it is actually legitimately, you know, free. If I, you know, stub my toe and break, you know, break a toe, it's free. If I, you know, need the triple heart bypass or a new lung, that's also free. So,
I have a quick question about
the
health.
Yes.
Uh oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
MDev.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that might be better.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. I got home and it tried to connect to Wi-Fi, but I'm like still in my backyard. So, Hayden, are you there?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Yeah. So, if an individual, like, as an example, I ride a motorcycle, which I know is a dangerous thing, and at some point I may end up splattered across the freeway. If an individual chooses a more dangerous life, does the British healthcare system care about that, or do they go, no, everything's still free? You know, obviously there's no premium or anything, right?
Yeah, no, they don't care. So,
okay.
You can ride a motorcycle. The nurses, the nurses in England, they call them organ donors.
Oh yeah, we call them donor cycles. You know, it's like,
that makes me chuckle.
Yeah.
So because we've had quite a liberal government for a number of years, is that they say, well, look, if you're part of the European, you know, your union, and you have a European passport, well, you've got access to this. You know, you're in England. You're physically in England. You then have access to our healthcare. It's only fair. But the problem is that they're never paid. They've never paid their life. So it's putting a humongous stress. With this, and we call it healthcare tourism, and this is the point I was getting to, I promise, is that we have a lot of people from, you know, Romania and Lithuania that have huge problems with alcoholism, and obviously, therefore, you know, liver and cirrhosis of the liver, and, you know, or, you know, things like that, that are not cheap to, you know, fix and solve and put a humongous, you know, stress. And so a lot of them, you know, the Romanian people are trying their hardest to, you know, get their feet, you know, in England.
Hmm.
And they're bringing their sort of family feuds with them. And you know, there's all sorts of things, stabbings and run-ins going on in London. In fact, a lot of motorcycle thefts are through, you know, organized through Romanian gangs.
That is not a thing I've ever considered in my life as Romanian gangs, but I suppose, you know, they're kind of I don't want to say tribal, but a little bit.
In Romania, where like all the gypsies come from anyway?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, yeah, that explains a lot.
Yeah. Huh. That is interesting.
So Hayden, I just had a thought. So you're covered under Britain, under the United Kingdom's national health care or whatever. Does that apply in the U.S.? Like if you're here in the U.S., do you have... Does England pay for your medical care here? Say you have to go to the hospital or something.
Right. No. So I have chosen to have American health care. But if I had some sort of catastrophic, you know, I drank my, you know, let's say I needed a new heart or, you know, you know, something like that, then I'd go back to England for that, just because
it's cheaper.
I'm going to save a, you know, a gratuitous amount of money.
Oh, okay. But are the medical care, is it as available in Great Britain as it is here? Like, you know, no. I've heard stories about the wait times of, like, you know,
yes.
You have cancer, and I'm sorry, but you have to wait 2 years to get chemotherapy, kind of thing.
Yes, in fact, so my own mother had to have her knee replacement. So she's got a metal, you know, ball and socket, you know, knee replacement.
Right. Sure.
Right. She had to wait 16 months for her first consultation.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Did she ever get it done?
Yeah, she did, but it took about two and a bit years, and it was going to take longer, but she wrote a very sternly worded letter.
She used harsh language.
To her member of parliament.
Okay, I gotta have a sidebar here for a minute, Hayden.
Yes, please.
I would dearly love to know what constitutes a sternly worded letter in England.
I don't think your mind could quite ever possibly grasp. I could describe it, but we'd spend 5 minutes just by Hayden.
I made Hayden crack up. Okay. Anyway.
Especially for a sternly worded letter from
Hayden's mom.
Exactly. Yeah. Without assigning an age to that, you know, Hayden is an adult, and I assume that his mother was an adult when he was born. So, you know, and a sweet tea drinking old lady.
I can only imagine, and it makes me cackle inside with glee. So yeah, that's the big difference, because, you know, you can get a new, you can get a hip. My mom had a hip replacement, and it took her like 3 months from the doctor saying, hey, you know what, you should probably look at getting your hip replaced, to, you know, it was done and she was walking around again.
Yes.
I mean, it was literally that quick. And, you know.
Well, if Hayden needs like a heart transplant, we will all write sternly worded letters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
So my mother has managed to get two federal museums opened whilst they were closed.
Wow.
Maybe she's got
like superpowers or something.
She has, yeah.
don't cross Hayden alone, man.
Oh well. we were at the Truman birth house, where Truman was born, and it was chucking it down with rain, it had closed. And there was a groundskeeper doing his, you know, mowing the lawn, and, you know, and she said to him, look, I've traveled all this way. I had no idea it would be closed. You know, I've come all this way from England. Can you, you know, I'd love to see this. I'd love to see this house. And the reason why I'd love to see this house, because I didn't realize that Truman was the last president who wasn't a millionaire. And she was completely buttering up this groundskeeper.
In a British accent, mind you.
In a British accent. And he said, well, look, you've traveled all this way. Please don't tell anyone this, but I'll open it up. And she opened up a federal museum.
Nice.
Well, that's impressive.
We got we got like 15 minutes left, and we should probably mention the election.
We had an election. Yeah. Things happened. It's not a disaster.
Well, I did want to do there's a couple of things I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
Mostly because Texas politics.
Yeah, you've got some explaining to do, Lucy.
As predicted, Beto did not win.
But he
although he did not win by a much narrower margin than I expected him to not win. So I am chagrined at that. I can only say that two things. One, he outspent Cruz like almost 3-1. He had a ton of media support that Cruz did not have.
Mm-hmm.
And Cruz almost didn't campaign.
Well, also, how much of Beto's support is that he's not Ted Cruz?
Well, that's a lot of that too. Because Ted, there's a lot of people that don't like Ted Cruz because they don't like him. Because he's not a pleasant person.
Yeah.
Which I could give a fuck. You know,
right.
I like his politics. I don't care if he's somebody I'd go drinking with.
Yeah.
You know, who cares?
I've never understood.
I can't imagine a single politician I'd go drinking with in the first place, but
exactly.
Except for Dan Crenshaw.
Yes.
who is my other political story I wanted to talk about. I happen, and I didn't realize this. See, I voted early. So I voted. Oh, hello.
Hello.
Somebody's got a happy ringtone.
That was my work phone ringing, but I'm not at work, so somebody, they can go fuck off.
Somebody, I voted, and the only thing I knew about Dan Crenshaw at the time was that he was, you know, a veteran and pro Second Amendment and a Republican, which was really all I needed to know. And then, like the day after I voted, all this crap about Saturday Night Live and what they did came out. And I didn't really put two and two together because, you know, I didn't really recognize the name and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, oh, and I went back and I looked at my voter registration. I was like, oh, that's my, he's my district. And, so he won. So yay.
Take that, Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
So I have a quick election question for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Because I grew up in Oregon. And I now live in
Washington. You're getting silent.
Whoa.
And
hey, Dev, you're siloning out, man.
Oh, is that any better now?
Yeah,
yes.
Much better. Start over.
Okay. So because I grew up in Oregon and I now live in Washington, I have never voted in a polling place. I've always voted by mail. Oregon went to all vote by mail when I was like in middle school, and Washington is vote by mail. And like, there's an option where I can go down to, you know, a sanctioned place and fill out my ballot there. But I've never done like the go in the booth, pull the lever. You know, I remember my parents doing that, as a kid. They would like go to drop me off at school and then go vote.
Mm-hmm.
But my greatest fear is always like, I always vote like, you know, 2 weeks before election day, as soon as the ballots come out. But like in this Dan Crenshaw thing, that Saturday Night Live was just a few days before the election.
Right.
I just wonder how many people like were motivated one way or the other by the proximity, where here in Oregon or Washington, we would have already cast our ballots a week ago. You know,
I think almost none.
Oh, okay.
And the reason I say that is because Texas has a choice on the ballot where you can basically do a party vote.
Oh,
so you can tick off a box and just select all the Republicans, or tick off a box and select all the Democrats, and chunk your hit the done button and you're done. You don't have to go through one by one. Now, they recently passed a law to get rid of that, and Governor Abbott signed it gleefully because it's, you know, the Democrats love it. Because, you know, low information voters, it's a big deal for them. But
you
anyway,
know, I would say I actually vote on election day. I have never voted by mail, never voted early. In Ohio, early voting, you can do it, except it's it's just a ridiculous pain in the ass. Like, so I don't know anybody who does it. A lot of people vote early. Whoops. A lot of people vote early by absentee ballot here. And that's like a write-in ballot. But I vote on election day, and I would bet, and especially in Ohio, we're kind of like that swing state, kind of like, you know, kind of purple, you know, every pretty split down the middle kind of state. And our vote, we always have a sense that our vote really counts, like, yeah, you know, being an Ohioan. And I think a lot of people pay a lot of attention to, you know, what's going on, even up to the day of election day. And I would bet that not an insignificant amount of people, you know, can be swayed one way or the other by something that happened. Yeah, at the last minute.
Sure.
Well, I can say, because in Harris County, where this precinct is in, or this congressional district is in Harris County, if you look at the vote statistics,
mm-hmm,
overwhelmingly people voted straight party lines.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the Democrats, like, and by like 60% or more. So it was like huge. So I suspect that it wouldn't have made much difference, just because of the party line thing. People that were going to vote Democrat were going to vote Democrat no matter what. People that were going to vote Republican were going to vote Republican no matter what. And I think anybody, you know, there's people that, you know, they always interview some schlub that's like the day before election day, and he's like, "Well, I haven't really made up my mind yet how I'm going to vote." You know, he's a liar.
Yeah.
He's an absolute liar, because, you know, I mean, if you're so out of touch and uneducated on the issues and the people running the day before the election, you shouldn't be voting.
They do, though.
Oh, Alan. I know they do, but damn.
They do. I want to hear Hayden's voting experience.
He would vote in England.
You've never voted?
In America?
No, I mean in England. What
that
is that?
That would be funny if he voted in America. Hey, actually, Hayden, you know what? You may have voted in America and just not realized it. You might have voted Democrat a few times. Yeah. You never know.
Oh, yes, I could have. Yeah. Uh-oh. I went with my wife to the polling place for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an interesting people watching experience. And the people standing outside, waving little flags,
mm-hmm,
you know, as I drove in, you know, really nothing in their own right. I don't know. So voting in I'm gonna sneeze. Hold on.
Okay. Who's breathing?
That's him, Dev. You should mute yourself.
Stop
MDev.
Breathing. Stop breathing.
I'm the noisy one on the call, I guess.
So by law, you are only politicians before a general election are only allowed to campaign for exactly 6 weeks.
Ooh, that would be great.
Oh, man.
Yep.
I'm kind of jealous of that.
I would love that.
It's never ending here. It feels like it never ends here.
Yeah, the 2020 election started like yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeesh.
And then it's, you know, the polling places are, you know, probably, you know, they're very similar to here. They're, you know, they're schools, they're post offices, they're public libraries.
Mm-hmm.
Police stations occasionally. And
they would, the Democrats would call that voter intimidation in this country.
Yeah, they would.
Well, you expect our constituents to go to a police station and vote? What is this, entrapment?
Well, especially like here in Washington, we had a major ballot initiative that dealt with police training. That would be nuts.
I love it. Yeah, but you know, England doesn't have the racial problem that the U.S. has.
They have different racial problems.
Well, they have other problems, but there's not this you know.
Apparently, they have Romanian problems.
This is true.
Sounds like
we have health. We have healthcare tourism problems.
Yeah.
Yes, Romanians are just a. I can promise you, they're only a small portion.
Well, and you know, once you invite the gypsies in, they never leave.
Yes. I'm trying to think. Well, how else I can?
Is it usually like a thing where you pull the lever, or is it computerized, or does it vary?
No, it's a colour in a little circle.
Oh, and okay. It's a paper ballot.
Yes, it's a paper ballot. Okay. Yes, but it's machine readable paper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the old sort of school scores. You know, that
right.
You took
Scantron.
Yeah.
Thank you. Right.
Scantron. Yeah. So they then put the piece of paper in and it whizzes through and it gets counted very quickly. I mean, the newspapers, I mean, obviously we have the same problems with the newspapers that, you know, most journalists grew up, you know, didn't get paid a lot of money whilst, you know, they were trying to be journalists. So they typically, therefore, are very leftist because, you know, they've had to, you know, grow up in the early parts of their careers, but, you know, on... worse. So we do have the you know, the same thing.
Who's running an adding machine?
No.
It sounds like somebody's got a typewriter or an adding machine in the background.
It's the noisiest show.
It is the noisiest show we've had in a long, long time.
Mostly my fault, probably.
It's probably driving Alan crazy. He's like a noise Nazi.
Go ahead, Aiden.
Sorry, I've lost my train of. The media. So the media is the same. The BBC is horrendously left. And partly because, you know, they're currently having to upgrade their, you know, their recording studios to, you know, 4K, 8K, you know, cameras and broadcasting, you know, equipment. And therefore, they know that they're going to, you know, have to go to the government to, you know, get that money. So, you know, they're swinging hard left even more.
I've noticed because this year's Doctor Who is abysmal.
I know. I'm sorry, Alan.
It is just full of social justice awfulness. They've ruined it.
I haven't seen a single.
Don't bother.
Okay.
It's terrible.
I've never seen more than two episodes of Doctor Who.
Yeah, well.
Well, it's not worth watching anymore. Yeah. So.
My wife is a big Doctor Who fan, but I think the last Doctor she liked was two Doctors ago, before the one that wore the Doc Martens.
Oh, okay.
She liked Matt Smith.
Matt Smith.
Yeah, Matt Smith. Yeah. I think it's the one she liked. I don't remember.
Which one was the David Tennant?
That was the one before Matt Smith.
That was before Matt Smith, yeah.
Oh my god! I sound like a nerd. Okay.
Tennant was good.
I just finally watched Firefly this year. So
Okay, that's right. You did.
Mm-hmm. And then realized that half of my friends have kids named after characters.
Yes.
Have you watched? Has anyone watched Broadchurch yet?
Yeah, that's I got have David not Tennant. Gotten to it yet. I watched a couple of episodes, and I like David Tennant, but the show is kind of
too British.
It's a British police procedural.
Hmm.
I think it was really well made.
Oh, it's the couple I've seen are good, and Tennant's great. The only reason I watched it because David Tennant's in it, and he's going to be in this new, Netflix thing? The
Good Omens.
Good Omens.
Good Omens. Yeah, he plays a demon.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
If I can just briefly steer back to politics for a moment in Texas.
Sure.
Do you think that the vote was so close because of people exiting California because it's just, I mean, you wouldn't want to live there for all the tea in China, and but taking their politics with them?
Well, I mean, yes, to a certain extent, that doesn't help. But this year there were two things that increased the Democrat turnout, and that's really what it was. There were more people voted in this election than in 2014. So for a midterm, the turnout was insane. It was crazy high. They said more people early voted than voted in the entire election in 2014 in Texas. So there was a huge turnout, both Republicans and Democrats. And you had two things. One, you had the general Democrat Trump hate, and then you had the Beto thing.
Beto mania.
Yeah, the Beto mania, which
he's famous on Instagram.
Which, you know, I mean, you can't argue that spending $70 million on a Senate campaign, getting all the media behind you. I mean, the media were, they was like there was a competition to who could write the most, you know, groveling love letter to Beto and get it published. I mean, this, you know, they were comparing him to Kennedy, and just, I mean, it was just awful. And nowhere in the entire elect campaign did anybody point out that Beto is married to the daughter of a billionaire. You know, I mean, this guy is, you know, whiter than white bread, and, you know, culturally appropriated a nickname. I mean, it's just the hypocrisy was just awful. So, yeah, I think that, plus, you know, Texas has a huge problem with a lot of people from California have moved to Austin and San Antonio and Houston. Houston's the largest, fastest growing metropolitan area in the nation right now. People are coming here by the hundreds of thousands, and they're coming from liberal shitholes. So,
and they're all on the freeway,
and they're bringing their politics with them. So, you know, anyway, I suspect that two things. If Beto hadn't been such a media darling, and if Ted Cruz had bothered to actually campaign and maybe had a little bit more personality, then it wouldn't have been so close. Look at the governor's vote. The governor's Abbott won with like a landslide. I mean, it wasn't even close. And he's a very popular Republican governor, and he's a lot more personable than Cruz. So,
You know, sometimes the cult of personality is really a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, a lot of down ticket elections were flipped from Republican to Democrat because of straight party voting for riding on Beto's coattails.
Oh, okay.
A lot of Harris County, Houston's Harris County. So, Harris County offices were flipped from Republican to Democrat. Lots of Republican judges lost and are getting replaced by Democrat judges because people voted, Democrat straight ticket. And then it was funny. A lot of people won election on Beto's coattails, and Beto didn't win. So, you know.
Right. Well, yeah, I read one article that basically said that was the plan all along.
I think that's a hindsight thing. They really wanted Beto to win. You don't spend $70 million on a campaign in Texas, a Democrat campaign in Texas, unless you expect to win it. You know, you can spend a lot less money and still lose.
And was he wasn't like a state senator or anything like
he
that.
He was a U.S. congressman. He was the congressman from congressional district in El Paso. But he was like a nothing guy. He was like Obama as a senator. He was nothing. Yeah. So
well, then he's all ready for 2020.
Right. Yeah. So that's my bet. He's setting himself up. He wants to be the Democrat nominee for president. You know, Obama was a do nothing senator for a term and then ran for president. And you know, the only thing better than a do nothing senator is a do nothing not senator.
Well, my governor wants to be the Democrat nominee for 2020 as well.
So. That's going
to
be a fun contest. You know, yeah. I mean, Trump, you know, some people might try to run against Trump in the Republican primary just because they hate Trump so much. But Trump's going to be the Republican nominee unless he decides he doesn't want it. The Democrat race is going to be really fun.
It'll be a show to watch.
Yep. And we are a little over time.
Yeah.
So we give them... Given their money's worth tonight.
I want to thank you guys all for inviting me on and putting up with my background noise and my air conditioning noise and my driving home noise and.
Oh,
it's always fun to have you.
It adds to the ambiance.
I'm always here, anytime, and you know maybe once I'll get to talk to Jay.
We could probably
never talked to Jay.
I have never talked to Jay. I'm apparently just the other sweaty Italian.
We will set it up. We'll have the Italian sausage fest. How's that?
Oh. Now wait a minute. No.
Okay. And with that.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Hayden. Thanks, MDev. Y'all were great, as usual. And we'll be back next week.
Yeah.
All right. Good night.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Good night.